that lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green. She's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at a television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what we did there?
Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
And it's the audio podcast companion for issue 602, the welcome visit of Wayne Rooney to the Riverside, Rob.
And Derby County, apparently.
Is there more than Wayne Rooney? I thought it was Wayne Rooney. That was the key thing, that he's actually there. And it's that
just him.
I wonder, Colleen, will she be popping in perhaps?
Well, she certainly was there to watch him from her box, wasn't she, in his home debut?
Exactly, exactly. So there we are. Why talk about Derby County?
Yes,
well,
why indeed.
We've obviously got the Tottenham game, which, I mean, I did say 4-1, so I was only three goals out.
You were close. Yeah,
exactly. Mark Lawrenson got the correct prediction of 1-1. Chance to obviously head down to London, though.
The new stadium?
Yes.
No, it'll be interesting. That tickets were snapped up. It was probably the first opportunity most people to see the priority point system that has been put in place this season, to see whether it worked or not. Anyway, 3,700 seats all went, and so there'll be a very big support on a Tuesday night in London. And can we possibly do it again? Spurs didn't look that good, has to be said, and. Obviously, they've got the news that Harry Kane's going to be out till April, isn't he? So that's a bit of a blow.
Well, the time effectively when Kane was actually absent and they seemed to go on a winning run was obviously under a different manager. That was Maurizio Pochettino.
Yeah, yeah.
And in this particular instance, I don't suspect that we have the same kind of alternative plan in place.
No, and as we were saying, we're not talking all about Wayne Rooney or Spurs. We're talking about Middlesbrough, and Middlesbrough played really, really well and took the lead with Ashley Fletcher, one of the players that's really come to the fore in the last few games. A fantastic goal to end the decade at West Brom, and he's continued in that line.
It kind of shows some really interesting managerial aspects of Jonathan Woodgate, because he was always very encouraging with respect to Fletcher, and always in the time when he wasn't scoring and apparently couldn't even hit a barn post from 2 yards, he still sort of said, yeah, okay, we'll stick with him, etc. Flip side, Marcus Brown, he's back to Oxford.
He is, and well, we obviously had that glut of 4 red cards in 8 games. And Marcus Brown's was arguably the most reckless of them all, because
although
he was on the pitch for 10 minutes.
He could probably say in his defence that defeat against Swansea kind of triggered off an unbeaten run. So he did it for the team.
Right, okay.
I don't think so, Marcus.
No, I think that's it. He was sort of, obviously a young player, raw in every sense, and he picked up a lot of bookings and arguably had to be taken off a couple of games at half-time to stop him being sent off, so he wasn't learning his lesson.
And
Oxford's the team that where he really made his name last season.
Yeah. Back to the side that beat Hartlepool.
And we've obviously we've brought in 2 young forwards from Manchester City.
I was wondering whether you actually mentioned that, because clearly it's just win-win situations now. I mean, you've got Roberts and Nemecha.
Yeah.
And
bloody them both against Spurs.
Yes.
Because Mourinho did make that other point about, he said about having injuries to his team. But Middlesbrough that had the weakened team. We had our third choice keeper, maybe our second choice keeper soon, because obviously Darren Randolph is in talks to go to West Ham. And that was a situation again that we didn't think possible, a month ago it would be unthinkable that we were going to lose our keeper, but Ainsley Pearce has stepped in so well. And in that month, of course, do you know what happened this morning? Jonathan Woodgate was manager of the month.
Although I was going to hold fire on that
one. Oh, sorry.
Because, of course, there is the well-known
curse
of
yes.
the manager of the month.
You are right.
And we'll just have to wait and see. Let's
yes,
see
we'll.
If he can actually knock that. I mean, admittedly, yes, absolutely, spot on, well done. But just be very careful.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, again, you know, you've got 2 important games coming up. And a win against Derby County, and suddenly it does become feasible to start dreaming of the playoffs.
Well, you would suddenly be in something like a similar scenario to Derby, I think, last season, and Aston Villa, the season before that, Norwich, teams, and Fulham, I remember once, all coming from way down. But I think for most fans, Mura fans will keep the feet on the floor and accept that everything's a bonus, that we're not looking down, that that would be the main thing about keeping this run going, so that we're well away from relegation and we're giving ourselves something to sort of build on for next season. And in terms of the manager, the young manager, it's great that he's been that he's got this accolade for what he's achieved, because he came under an awful lot of stick, and obviously some Borough fans as well, you know, worrying about him, thinking we've made the wrong choice. But he stuck to his guns, didn't he, with his principles, with what he was going for. Some of the players that they brought in, the three players, didn't make it, like Brown. Obviously Dick Steele got injured, but Bowlers also looks like he's going out on loan. But the young players, he always talked about that in the summer, didn't he? He said there was some young players that he knew could do the job, and that's certainly the revival has been based around some of those young players. Also with the steadying old hands of Ayala, sadly injured now, and Johnny Howson, who's been quite phenomenal, asked to play in all sorts of positions and really oozing his experience. And I think, as Woodgate said this week, we really can ill afford to lose him, because he's one of the players that's out of contract at the end of the season. We need to negotiate to keep him as a sort of bedrock of the club.
You have to pinch yourself, but it's true. Not my words, your words, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
In the editorial of the 602nd issue of Fly Me to the Moon. Chris Bartley writes, that strange winning feeling. October 21st, 56 minutes into the game against Stoke City. One goal down, Borough were fourth bottom of the Championship. 1 point from the bottom three. Now, I very rarely gamble, he says, but I wonder if he placed a bet at that very moment what the odds were of us going on to win that game, then Huddersfield, and then proceed to beat West Bromwich Albion and Preston away, two teams who were first and third in the Championship, respectively. And again, that whole notion about holding Spurs at home as well. It was looking at 100-1, 500-1, etc. Interesting. In this edition, we've got another epic Jimmy Flynn homage, a tribute to Fabrizio Ravanelli, the white feather. Nothing to do with the white feather that used to be presented to soldiers by young ladies who said that their soldier boys were cowards, basically. Nothing to do with that. We've got a variety of other bits and pieces as well. Post-Afghan tales on the up, and a whole heap of other good, delightful things as we continue with respect to the Fly Me to the Moon podcast, the official podcast for Fly Me to the Moon and Borough fans across the globe, I think it's fair to say so. Yep. Across the globe.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now. 100,000 strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225
grams of magnesium, 3 tablespoons.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was the recipe?
And that's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible. Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York, and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
Sad news, Rob, that Borough Boy Barry Choan has actually passed away.
Yes.
Again, obviously we all do. Life is a terminal disease and so on and so forth. But yeah. I think he's certainly well known in terms of the annals of borough history and a whole variety of other aspects as well, and sort of things he'd done for the town as well.
Yeah, Barry was a regular columnist in the last couple of years. He came up to me and... he was big on player in Memories of Middlesbrough, which is a massive Facebook group where people submit photographs and memories. And Barry he opened the first nightclub, as far as I know, on Linthorpe Road called the Barracuda. I got a picture of him with a giant Barracuda. And the Barracuda became the speakeasy, which became the Havana, which is Linthorpe Road. That was the sort of gap where it was. Mm-hmm. Barry had an incredible sort of like, I can only describe it as like a Rolling Stones haircut, really, in the 60s. He was 18 when he opened that nightclub, so he was a young man. Mm-hmm. He wrote a play, which I remember watching as a school kid because it was on national TV and it was called Bottles. It was about Middlesbrough. And I'd love to see if we could, if anyone still has any of that footage, because it was, I remember there was cars driving around parts of Middlesbrough, like the old, near the old bus station and over the border that no longer exist. No. So quite interesting. And yeah, Barry was a big football fan from through his life, from Ayrton Park, to the Riverside, to going around Europe, and there's a picture of him here with his brother Araf and his son at in Valencia when he's where a lot of Borough fans went to see the Borough player Villarreal, and there's a picture of him in his school team for Stainsby Boys, and his mother was the first Punjabi Muslim to reside in Middlesbrough. She came over in about 1949. His father had come over in the 30s before the Second World War, and he had uncles that had been here since the early 20th century. So they were all kind of like very much pioneering family. Barry used to write to me, he used to send it through modern technology, through WhatsApp, because he was often abroad in Africa and the Middle East. And in fact, he did sadly passed away in Dubai just between Christmas and New Year. Mm. And he is being remembered this weekend with his funeral. His brother contacted me early on a morning because this sort of underlines the stature he had. In that faith, people come to visit the house, and all this week there have been people coming from 10 o'clock on a morning to basically 10 o'clock at night from all over the country, and it's like open house, and they come to pay their respects. And so there's been an incredible amount of people coming forward to see him. And very sad loss, and always his thoughts about Middlesbrough were always very, very welcome. And he looked at the season, he divided it up into clusters of games and look at the stats. And I always thought it was very, very positive, thinking, oh, we only need 2 points a game now to get into this situation. So it was really interesting the way he looked at things.
Yes, Barry Tariq Khan Choan, born 30th of September 1950, passed on 28th of December 2019 at the age of 69. We salute you. And I suspect, really, it would be nice to actually have a 69th minute round of applause against Derby, really, if that could be arranged. Not sure whether it will be. It might be too soon, actually, to get things sorted through.
Yeah.
But some sort of acknowledgement from the club, really, because there we are. We've given him our own round of applause. Yeah. While we yeah. the thing from that point.
No, there's going to be something in a future programme.
Yeah. Subway sect, Borough Busker, Derek Parkinson, a Borough busking institution for most of the century, pictured in Derek's bunker.
Indeed, yeah. I had this photo lying around for a while that was sent to me by a guy called Ron Evans and uh-huh. thought, oh, I should put that in.
It's a New Year special.
Yeah.
Sorted through on that basis.
Everyone who goes past, and that's most of the fans going to and from the game, will recognise Derek.
Mm. And something we talked about, obviously, in terms of why all of the FA Cup ties on FA Cup third round weekend started off at 1 minute past.
Yes.
To give us time to think, time to pause for thought, etc. Maybe, actually, he says, being politically, possibly quite contentious, maybe if Meghan and Harry had paused for thought, maybe they wouldn't be in the situation they are in now. But I'll just raise that there.
Because it was his brother, wasn't it, that William that made the address.
His brother, for Aston Villa supporter, clearly, from that point of view. He's not going to head off into all sorts of
things. Yes, we followed it up with something we mentioned last issue as well, talk today, and this was an interview I did with Damien Warriner from that group, and it's just basically showing that there's a support, he's building up a support network in the area of where you can go if you're feeling really, really low, feeling suicidal thoughts. And he says it often happens in the middle of the night. People they try and communicate, and basically you can communicate with Talk Today, and they will arrange to see you but they will meet you on some sort of familiar ground. Mm. And they've built up a network of bars, cafes, gyms. And even Middlesbrough Football Club have got a room set aside for a chat room once every couple of weeks. So you can meet in those places.
A proper room where you can actually have a proper chat.
A virtual chat room. Yes, and it starts from the first contact is made through Facebook, Talk Today Facebook, or something that you're familiar with, or texting on your phone. And then you can have, when you feel more comfortable, a person-to-person chat. And they're trying to establish this where they can actually get eventually what they're doing is getting together people who can be financial advisors or counsellors, and they can offer that service free to people or legal people if there's some problem there. So it's a very, very worthwhile thing, and anything they can do to stem what has been a very, very sad tide of suicides.
Looking at the figures here, 28 men every week in the United Kingdom take their life, works out four a day. Middlesbrough has the highest population for suicides in the country, generally leading between people aged between 18 and 14, but that's obviously not excluding others that are actually there. Those are frightening figures, and again, indicative of a time where we do need to ensure that we not just take a moment, but obviously talk today, so we can talk tomorrow, as you rightly said. Okay, shall we actually go, before we go into another little campaign, which is supporting football is not a crime, which is an interesting line from that, to the Fabrizio Ravanelli epic, because I say epic, who knows? I mean, Jimmy Flynn just moves on from one thing to the other, really, in terms of his side of things from this point of view. So, would you like to, again, we'll do two lines each, I think, would you like to take the lead, sir, in this launch of Jimmy Flynn's latest epic, The White Feather?
Fabrizio Ravanelli, the Italian White Feather, alighted on Teesside and lightened the weather.
A formidable striker, elusive and clever, that hapless defenders found impossible to tether.
Wafted to the banks of the River Tees by a fortuitously favourable Mediterranean breeze.
His Latin style of football never failed to please, record signings from Italian giants Juventus of Turin.
Imbued with a champion's desire to win, never in Borough's history since or before.
Has a player with his charisma passed through the door, soccer superstar, silver-haired, gold-plated.
With a hunger for goals never satiated, never attempting to curry favour.
Goals the flavour he did savour, gliding over the ground with seemingly effortless ease.
As if transported on invisible skis, like a downhill skier skimming over polished snow.
Oozing class from head to toe, to the heart of the action he would unerringly go.
A penalty area predator, filled with guile is every ounce, instinctively sensing the moment to pounce.
On scoring a goal, he would turn on heel and towards the adoring fans triumphantly wheel.
Raising his shirt above his chest, revealing the Selnet logo on his vest.
His goals carried Barrett to Wembley's Twin Towers and were the key to the club's most memorable hours.
The focal point of Brian Robson's cosmopolitan team with his film star looks, a sponsor's dream.
Fabrizio Ravanelli, football hitman with the mysterious aura of a Sicilian don. He enthralled Teesside for one glorious season, then was gone.
The Mediterranean breeze that brought him Borough's way returned to lift and carry the fabled white feather away.
I tried to get some Italian accent in there, but I think I failed miserably. It's very good. Well done, Jimmy. Another classic line from that point of view. Now, of course, post-Afghan tales, Stanistan seeming remarkably much more positive.
Yes.
In terms of his views. I mean, we can compare early Stanistan views with our later, current post-Stanistan views, and clearly he's very much in the positive side.
He's back from despair, isn't he?
Say no more, exactly. Meanwhile, moving sadly to another area which probably does need to be addressed and is part of a campaign which you've focused on. This notion supporting football is not a crime. Well, no, but it seems that in certain ways, I mean, again, 44 Middlesbrough Football Club supporters unfairly detained for over 6 hours, given dispersal notices by Derbyshire Police, and yet no kind of information in terms of why that was the case.
No, it appears that the police do not need to tell you why it's happening. It was a coach load of fans, and it was going back to 2015. So it's been a long fight, this. And they were held for 6 hours. They were not given any refreshments. They were not given any toilet facilities. And they were taken back on a train to Nottingham, surrounded by police cars with flashing lights. These guys actually, obviously they don't really want to put their names to these things because of obvious reasons. And one of those obvious reasons is that a lot of them are actually charity organisers from Teesside. So this was like an ordinary trip going to a match, and they were suddenly impounded, and then led away and sent home. And I'm not told why. And Bristol fans, a similar thing happened to them. It's a piece of legislation that was designed to disperse individuals, has been applied in football cases to whole busloads. And Bristol City fans were turned away from Stoke City, were escorted back, and they actually won a civil case. But so that was like a triumph out of court. But it doesn't stop anything to do with the law. But these guys want to have that day in court. The crowdfunding at the moment, you've got to go to crowdjustice.com/Middlesbrough is where you go to, because they need £5,000 by next week to go ahead with the next step. But they said it's all on the line, really, because the stand to lose if the police succeed against them, they could face a final bill of up to £150,000. But they want to start. They want to go for this principle, make a stand for football fans that you shouldn't be in this day and age suddenly stopped by police, not given any reason, held, and then forced back to your town. And as I say, this wasn't in any way a group of drunken hooligans or anything. These people were, well, I know some of them. They're very sort of very very active community group and charity fundraisers.
There's one described it as the most humiliating experience in his 40 years of supporting football, which is, I suppose, significant. And again, let's not, conflate this, because clearly there are issues relating to racism and various other factors where, in essence, there needs to be a legal redress and an aspect which is, this is nothing to do with it. This is simply a case of, hang on a minute here, how are we using this injustice? And again,
we don't know why. We still don't know to this day why this happened.
Ian Smith, as nothing seasons go, this one is shaping up to be rather memorable. I mean, dare to dream. If Borough can look forward to a fourth round tie against Southampton, you've got obviously Derby County. Looking at the fixtures for February,
there are areas there which are looking quite interesting. I mean, it's a home against Blackburn Rovers. We've got other sort of...
Yeah, we've got... obviously, things are really sort of congested coming up. We've got the... We play in Spurs next week, then we go to Fulham on the Friday, which is another tough game. Fulham have been far more inconsistent than we would have expected. They were recently beaten by Reading, who've been storming up the table just ahead of us, haven't they? And then we got the Birmingham City game's been brought because we're playing Southampton in the FA Cup. See what I did there in the fourth round. The Birmingham game has been brought forward to the Tuesday the 21st. So a lot of games in January, and I think I highlighted at the start of the season that February is absolutely packed full of games. So a lot to play for.
I mean, again, it's going to be intriguing. I think there's an international break that crops up as well. That probably comes at pretty much the right time from that point of view. But February, as you say, Brentford away, Blackburn Rovers away to Wigan, of course, and they're also they sort of wrap up February with a home game against it's some sort of Yorkshire team. I think it's Leeds United. That's there. Yeah, really disunited. Away to Barnsley, of course, as well, before the Leeds game.
A lot of football.
All right. Are you looking forward to... Obviously, it's the first time you've been to the new ground.
Yeah.
Or the newly redefined... Is it still called White Hart Lane?
I don't know, actually.
Because I mean, it
overlaps, doesn't it?
Yes. Is it the Tottenham?
I remember they were talking about the renaming, weren't they?
Yeah. It's not been called the Mourinho Stadium.
I'll let you know. I note in the away fan guide that things like that they've got airport style security there, so you go through scanners. It's cashless, entirely cashless inside the grounds, which can warn that to a warning to any fans going that you need to use a card or your phone, and also that you can't take any bags with you that are over A4 unless they're clear, like you know the clear bags in airports. So that might catch a few people out who are going down there because it's very difficult to get a train back because it's an 8 o'clock start or 8:02 or something like that. So people might have bags with them, but you can't get them into the stadium.
So it's worth also noting it is on BBC television as well, so there's a chance to actually work through that point of view. And just returning, obviously, to Derby County, do you think Steve Gibson will be saying, it's all right, we don't care now, let's all get together with Mel, my mate, and sort our way through that? Because there is that tension, which we haven't mentioned, between, obviously, Steve Gibson feeling that Derby's Mel Morris broke the financial fair play rules.
Well, we saw something where... The Derby players' wages were late at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. We've also seen that there could be further sanctions against Birmingham City. So what the point Steve Gibson was making was not, I think it was lost in the way. It wasn't that they're gaining an unfair, so much that they're gaining an unfair advantage over us in getting into the playoffs last season. It's the fact that financial fair play is there as a safeguard for football club, for football fans, and for football itself, and it's to stop clubs from overspending. Mm. And if clubs are finding ways around that, then it's dangerous for the future. You can only sell your stadium once. So what happens after that?
Derby County Football Club Limited, originally established in 1896, after Morris had taken over the Rams, it had become owned by Sevco 5112 Limited, 5112 Limited, which in turn was owned by Morris himself. Sevco 5112 Limited also owned Sevco 5113 Limited. But on the 28th of June 2018, 2 days before its accounting deadline, Sevco 5113 Limited was sold to a company called Galore Newco. I'm already learning the wheel to live,
absolutely.
Really, in terms of complexities and so on. From that point of view, I'd say anybody who's wants to actually read what Mike Kelly's produced of this, well done. But it is one of those areas where clearly there are issues to be had there. And I mean, Derby, again, they're gambling. They're gambling on that notion of being able to extend. And I suppose, arguably, signing Wayne Rooney is a huge gamble, effectively. It reminded me, actually, back in the day of Fulham in the 1970s, where they signed George Best and Rodney Marsh and Bobby Moore and Alan Mullery.
That's right.
And they never quite made it in the end.
No.
But there was that sort of dream that they sort of keep things going. And it really wasn't until probably, arguably, Kevin Keegan got involved that they started beginning to move up
from
that side of things.
It's a good parallel, isn't it? Because I remember they suddenly became on... got on the big match quite a lot on the Sunday.
They were very much the sort of glamour time.
Yeah.
They got to the FA Cup final, lost to West Ham United 2-0. Oh, yeah. That was before I think Marsh and Best had actually joined, but they still had Bobby Moore there. Alan Taylor scored both goals. There we are, just checking on his memory. Yeah. Whatever happened to Alan Taylor? He went off to do various other bits and pieces there. And anyway, enough of such stuff. Let's go for the sort of system. I think that Derby County is a winnable game, and I think it could well be a 2-1 result.
Yeah, I hope so. we were defeated at Pride Park early in the season. George Saville got a red card. That was the first of those. I mentioned those four red cards. Mm-hmm. Let's keep 11 players on the pitch. And let's keep the ball rolling forward with another win. 2-0 win, please.
In addition to that, if you would like to actually have a fantastic image in hard, wonderful paper version, monochrome, of Jack Charlton's fantastic team with, if I can actually identify them, I'll see how many I can actually name from this side. We'll just test this up. This is starting from the right-hand side. David Armstrong, John Craggs, David Mills, Frank Spraggan, Malcolm Smith, possibly.
Yes, it is. That's right, yes.
We've got Alan Foggan, and just behind...
Bill Gates is in front of Alan
Bill
Foggan.
Gates, Alan Foggan, Bobby Murdoch, John Hickton, Graham Souness, Willie Madron, Alan Willie?
Jim Platt.
Jim Platt, of course, and Stuart Bohm.
Got a lot of hair. Stuart Bohm, yeah.
No, Alan Willie.
No, Alan Willie comes a bit later, doesn't he? Because this is from the promotion team, I think.
1973, so it's just there. Well, there we are, obviously proving that the sort of still can remember one's Borough
Classic.
Yeah,
well done. You can remember your Borough. Yeah.
Worth sorting through. How can people subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine, if they're listening to this via, obviously, the podcast or Red Army Radio or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. Please go out and buy it at the match. Mm. And then look out, because I'll put it on sale online afterwards. But if you subscribe, go to fmttm.com and click on subscribe, or you can get in touch with Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Jilk Street, Middlesbrough, TS15AP, or email at robshrug@gmail.com.
And we will be back, hopefully, although we might be in different studios, but the intention is at this stage to be back in time for the next home game, which, of course, will be Birmingham City.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we would do that, because at that stage we could also reflect on various other things that have actually gone, and how the promotion campaign is continuing ever onwards, really.
Well, Birmingham City is the game that's moved to the 21st,
yes.
Tuesday 21st.
Yes, so that's why I say I'll probably be in a different part of the country.
Ah, I see.
And we'll hopefully sort of rely on the phone line actually connecting us together. Mm. But there we are. It's the technology that always impresses me,
yes,
really.
Yes, doesn't it?
Anyway, shall we wrap up with those seven fine words of immortality for Fly Me to the Moon? A 1, 2, 3. Come on, Borough.
Up the Borough.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.